Thanks, everyone, for coming. I had no idea it was endorsed by the Socialists Conference, so I'm madly trying to think in my caucus to think how it's completely relevant. And it sort of is, in to each according to their need. I'm going to be talking about how many packs of oral contraceptive pills people can and should get. So a little background on the topic. Pills are the most common hormonal method of contraception that women use, but nearly half of pill users miss more than one or more pills per cycle. And when a small study that actually looked at why women miss pills found that the third most common reason is no new pill pack. The Guttmacher's report of women, characteristics of women seeking abortion, found that one out of seven women seeking abortion were using pills in the month they conceived. And access to pills is not glitch-free yet. When we have our National Socialist Healthcare Plan, maybe it will be. See? It links in again. Nationally, about three-quarters of women get only one cycle per encounter, so they have to come back every month to a pharmacy or clinic to get a resupply in order to have no break in their use of oral contraceptives. So I'm using data from the California Family Planning Program called Family Pact. It was established in 1996, and it started to get federal funding in 2000, and it has become huge. It's a fee-for-service program, meaning that providers are reimbursed for any services that they provide that are within the benefits package. There's on-site client enrollment, and the program has become hugely successful. In the year before Family Pact started, about 500,000 women were served through an old contract program that had limited funds and limited sites of service. And in the first year, three-quarters of 1 million women were served, and now we're up to over 1.5 million women and men served every year. And just so you see the huge growth in this program, it's sort of leveling off, though there's still quite a bit of need for the program, so it may continue to go up. And just to look at the trends in contraceptive methods, women may be getting more than one method, so it's oral contraceptives looks like the second most common method, but it is probably the first most common primary method of contraception. So our previous work on pill packs, we looked at claims data for pill packs and to determine whether women who got one or three cycles were less likely to continue using or more likely to continue using than women who got a full year's supplies. And we found that dispensing a whole year's supplies was cost-effective and resulted in fewer gaps in coverage than dispensing just one or three cycles. And I'll show you just one graph from that. This is the percentage having continuous coverage. So they'd received enough so that there were no breaks in, that there would need to be no breaks in use, just having enough supplies. And so, you know, 15 months out, is there an effect of continuation based on whether you received 1, 3, or 13 cycles at the beginning of the year? And we see that there's a quite a large effect. And one of the intriguing, we looked at, you know, if you get fewer cycles, do you have fewer visits, and then are you less likely to get your Pap test or your chlamydia test? And so we were looking at various kinds of tests that women might get and found this, that if you get fewer cycles of pills, you get a lot more pregnancy tests. And not just are you more likely to get a pregnancy test, which is what this is, but you get more of them. So you're more likely to have them and you get an average of more than two over the course of the year. And so it was pretty intriguing and we thought, well, maybe they're just getting pregnancy tests every time they come in, but maybe they're having pregnancy scares because they had fewer cycles of pills. And so we thought about taking the next step. The one criticism of our previous work is that we didn't randomize people to getting a year's supply. some women, some doctors, some physicians or prescribers give more pills to women they think who are going to be successful pill users. And they give fewer to the women who they think, say, they're just trying it out, they're not quite sure if pills are right for them. So, you know, we would expect to see lower continuation among women who got fewer cycles. on that basis. And then also women may say, hey, I'm planning to get pregnant in about 6 months, so I don't need a whole year's supply. And so for both of those selection reasons, we would expect to have higher continuation among women who got more cycles of pills. But we were not daunted by the problem of selection. And there's ways to get around it. One is to look for situations in which women were as close as possible to randomize to getting different numbers of cycles of pills. And the other is to look at abortion rates. And why abortion rates are important is that you can say, gee, I'd really like to conceive in about 6 months, but rarely does anyone say, I'd really like to have an abortion in 9. You know, so looking at abortion rates is a nice indicator of an actual unintended pregnancy. Hold on. So we're using now claims data from the Family Pact program, but one of my co-authors, Dennis Hewlett, actually linked these to claims for birth and abortion in the Medi-Cal program. California's Medicaid program, called Medi-Cal, actually pays for abortion for low-income women. And so we, at least in theory, have the data on abortions among Family Pact clients. And so we're looking at the incidence of abortion and births conceived in the year subsequent to the year after the pill packs were dispensed. So I'm going to show you three samples. The first sample is the entirety of Family Pact dispensed in 1 month. And I told you this program was big. In 1 month, January 2006, 84,000 women received oral contraceptives. You got to love that kind of data set. It's just great. So I'm going to first look at all of Family Pact, and then the second one is kind of a natural experiment. In 2004, September, a whole bunch of Planned Parenthoods had a stocking problem, and so for that month, they only gave out one cycle of pills to everybody, where normally they're allowed to give women 13 cycles, and they don't give 13 to everyone, but they give 13 to a subset. And so we're going to compare pregnancy rates to women receiving pills in 2004 in September and 2 months later in November when they'd cleared up the stocking problem. And the third sample is women who attended visited clinics in which they must have had a change in policy to increase the percentage of women who got a whole year's supply. And and again, we'll look a year apart. What happened to the pregnancy rates of women who came to get pills. So here are the results for the first sample. The first thing, the most important finding, is to compare the percentage of women who had no pregnancy. So 92% of women getting one or three cycles had no pregnancy, compared to 97% of women getting 13 cycles. And that is a significant difference. And the next thing to look at is the third to last column of abortion, the percentage of women who conceived a pregnancy in that year, the percentage who went on to have an abortion, and it's 50% higher among the women who got one cycle than the women who got 13 cycles. So that's nice, and if you have to leave now before I tell you the shortcomings. If you look down at the bottom, only 1% of women actually went on to have conceive a pregnancy that ended in abortion, and that's just way lower than we would have expected. So I now know these data are not complete. We're missing two groups. We're missing women who had an abortion paid for under presumptive eligibility, which is probably most of them, and we're missing all the cash pay, which could be considerable, even though they may be eligible for having Medicaid cover their abortion. They may not have Medicaid cover the abortion if they didn't know, if they go to a provider who won't accept Medi-Cal. So I would have expected about 8% of women to get pregnant. We have 7%. If under typical use of oral contraceptives for a whole year, but I know many of these women didn't use for a whole year. So we know the pregnancy rate is too low here. And I would have expected, were all these pregnancies to be unintended, I would have expected the number of deliveries, about 5.5%, to be equal to the number of abortions. Now, may not be, because some of these pregnancies may be intended, but I at least, these are two confirmations that I'm missing some data. But proceeding nevertheless, because this data did not arrive in time for, though they promised me and everyone tried as hard as they could, it did not arrive. Looking at the sample number two, so these are incomplete data, but I think it's at least promising that there'll be some really interesting results when the data set is complete. These are looking at the places where they had a stocking problem in September 2004. So the first two columns are September 2004, and then a few months later when they'd cleared that stocking problem. And the important number to look at is the pregnancy rate. And so it went from 4.2% when they had a stocking problem to 3.7 without the stocking problem. That's not a significant difference, but maybe when my abortion data is complete, it will be. And now finally the third sample of places where they dramatically increased the percentage of women getting 13 cycles. And see, in June 2004, 13% of them got 13 cycles, and in June 2005, 61% got 13 cycles. And again, the difference in the pregnancy rate is modest, but at least it's in a direction that I would have hypothesized. So conclusions, I think preliminary evidence is that there's a modest reduction in the pregnancy rate, but abortion is undercounted. The Medi-Cal data set is incomplete, and women may be paying out of pocket for their abortions. So our next steps is to include those presumptive eligibility abortions, which probably will increase the number of abortions by at least 25%, and maybe limit the analysis to people who got their pills from providers who also do abortion, because those people we know already know how to access Medi-Cal-funded abortions. And then we'll link in the oral contraceptive continuation and switching. And here's the required language about our contract with the state. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Diana. She was really great on time, so that makes it so much better for everyone else. I didn't even have to show her, you know, you've got 5 minutes left. So our next presenter is Sandy Navarro, a programmer analyst with UCSF's Family Pact program support and evaluation team.